Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on Hump Day. You are halfway to the weekend. We're going to get you all the way to go home time today. Now, listen, I'm in dipper number one for the day, lawfare. I'm talking about the things. I've never seen such a concerted civil and criminal effort to weaponize the systems of law that are supposed to be a part of the hallmarks of our country in such a way that, you know, just really attack an individual, in this case, Donald Trump. And by the way, anybody who stands next to him, because don't think there's not collateral damage here. But that being said, let me bring on somebody who is who's been in the fray as both a prosecutor and a former U.S. attorney. So Jay Towne has got his degree from Notre Dame, his Juris Doctorate from Seton Hall. He was a JAG officer in the Marine Corps. He was a U.S. attorney appointed by Donald Trump in the Northern District of Alabama, and he's on the phone right now. Jay Towne, how you doing?
Bill, Semper Fi. Thanks for having me on, my friend.
Semper Fi, man. Hey, so let me ask you this. First of all, break it down for me. Jack Smith, superseding indictment yesterday. What the heck?
Yeah, it's almost like Jack Smith practices losing, or he's in the five stages of grief. I can't quite figure it out, but this supersede, what I did last night, I for your listeners, I do a lot of television appearances too as a Trump surrogate, legal surrogate, and when I laid the two indictments, the original indictment and then the superseding indictment that came out yesterday, when I laid them side by side, they're almost identical. About the only thing that was carved out is references to the Department of Justice in meetings Trump had with, candidly, Jeffrey Clark, who's an idiot. Nothing really changed. This was a meaningless filing by Jack Smith. And by meaningless, here's why I say that, Phil. In a week, they're going to have a hearing, and they've been briefing back and forth with Judge Chutkan. They're going to have a hearing about what remains in the indictment after the Trump versus United States immunity opinion, and also after the Fisher opinion. You'll recall the Fisher opinion was the week prior to the immunity case, so it sort of gets overshadowed now, but at the time, it was devastating to the obstruction of an official proceeding counts to Trump, because remember they said, delaying an official proceeding cannot be obstruction. That's not what this law says. That's what Trump's been charged with.
Yeah,
he isn't charged with destroying a meaningful document. He didn't take all of the electoral ballots and burn them in a campfire. He didn't do anything. He gave a speech at the Ellipse, and a bunch of other people did things. But those counts remain in the superseding indictment, untouched, unfettered by the Fisher opinion, and there still remains in the superseding indictment a number of pieces of evidence that presumptively Trump is immune from prosecution or those activities even being evidence in a trial or before a grand jury. And so clearly Jack Smith, the Supreme Court is shaking its head at Jack Smith if it's read the superseding indictment today. Remember, he's not just immune from prosecution. The things that he's immune from, those official acts, like tweets, like conversations with his chief of staff, with the vice president of the United States, with White House counsel, speeches he gave at the Ellipse, again, tweets and other conversations, things in the Oval, that can't be used as evidence, period. If he's immune, it can't be used against him. And so, and the Supreme Court is very clear to carve that out. And Jack Smith left it all in. And remember, this is an interlocutory right, Phil. And by interlocutory, what that means is that, and you know this, but for your listeners, what that means is that before we go to trial, before I suffer the indignities of this process any further, I get to appeal your ruling saying I'm not immune, or I'm not, or this particular activity or conduct is not immune. And so this is going back to the Supreme Court next year. And, you know, when Trump wins in November, takes office in January, I hope I'm on the transition team for Trump so that I'm the guy that gets to fire Jack Smith.
Oh, that would be all right. If that happens, you're going to be on the show. All right. We're going to talk about it then. But
I might live stream it.
we'll be there with you, man. I want the T-shirt. But So let me ask you. This is in front of what U.S. District Judge? This is Tanya Chutkan, I believe, yep. that has it. And so there's a hearing next week, a status hearing. Is it possible that there be a motion to dismiss the superseding indictment that could be ruled on as early as next week?
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see dismissal motions all the way throughout this process, and they have to do that to preserve any issues that they would like to take up on appeal. Judge Chutkan's not a friendly judge. Think of Judge Chutkan as Juan Merchan, but with a federal black robe instead of a state black robe in New York. She doesn't like, remember, she found originally that there's not even a such thing as immunity.
Yeah.
For anybody, yeah. and certainly not for Trump. The Supreme Court said, "Man, are you stupid?" Right? And so they were a bit more pithy than that. And I say all this tongue in cheek, but Phil, listen, I mean, this is, let me be serious for a moment. I've spent my entire adult life in the service to my country, to my state, and to the law. To this day at Gray Analytics, I'm still working with members of the intelligence community, the Department of Defense, and members of law enforcement with some of the projects that we have going on over there. I have dedicated my life to law and order and to national security. And when you see lawfare, and I resisted it for a very long time, that this isn't lawfare, this is just a bad decision, but it's not lawfare, they're not weaponizing the Justice Department. And then you see Fannie Willis and how unserious that case is in Georgia. You see Manhattan and Alvin Bragg and how unserious that case was. Juan Merchan, Jack Smith, supersedes both the Mar-a-Lago case and now the January 6th case. And it's not just like, okay, we're going to charge you with one thing and go with that. It's like, no, we're going to, in the timing of this, remember, they just found out about the Mark Zuckerberg news and Hunter Biden's trial, his tax trial, which has all sorts of salacious details where he was writing off prostitutes and cocaine and drug dealers and all that. And that's the evidence of his evasion of taxes. That starts next week, right? And Jack Smith has a habit of bringing these things forward, these indictments, these superseding indictments. He brings them forward when bad news is coming for the administration.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this, though, before I run out of time. So the Alvin Bragg case, which to me was one of the most, it's a travesty of justice. But the Alvin Bragg case is set for sentencing, what, next month, I believe, like coming up in a few weeks, September, what, 18th, 45 days-ish before the election's over. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on sentencing, because it could go everything from a slap on the wrist and go pick up trash on the side of the road for a while to felony jail time. What are your thoughts?
There's a couple of things. One, Alvin Bragg has curiously not opposed delaying sentencing so that they could work through the immunity issues a bit further. Remember, Alvin Bragg's trial had all sorts of evidence of official conduct. In fact, they referred to it as official conduct, not only in their opening statements, but their closing arguments and when they were eliciting the evidence. Right. So there's really no hiding that. It's really whether or not that was error or not. And I would say to you that if you admit inadmissible evidence, it is always reversible error. And there's no such thing as harmless error when somebody had a constitutional right that was violated and evidence borne against them in a trial. Think of a bad search. Well, we admitted it anyway, but we think you'd have been convicted without it, so this conviction stands. Well, what's the point of the Fourth Amendment then, right?
Yeah.
Same
exactly.
thing with presidential immunity in Article 2. So I think that what you're going to see is that this will get pushed a bit further. It wouldn't surprise me if it only gets pushed if Merchan pushes it the week before the election or something like that, it probably would help Trump because it would seem so deliberate. What he should do is dismiss the conviction, vacate the conviction. And make Bragg start over without that evidence. And you and I both know, that's not going to ever see the light of day again.
No.
And without that official conduct, all that, remember, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the meeting with Cohen in the Oval, his tweets, what he was doing in the Oval, how he paid checks, things like that, That's all official conduct that's inadmissible now. All they basically have at this point would be a little old lady named Deb who made the data entry and Michael Cohen sending checks, right? That's it. So a lot of this Trump conduct goes away. Doesn't mean a Manhattan jury wouldn't do it again. But they you know, I think that Trump certainly has a lot of legal arguments.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think if the appellate courts review Fannie Willis in Georgia and they take her off the case, I think that case goes away. And I think you're right. If there's a vacation of the current convictions in New York, I don't think it ever comes back again. I think they're just cooked. I think they're done. Their whole goal was to stop the election process from having a unconvicted nominee, and they're not going to get that. But let me, all right, final words here, Jay. In all your years, have you ever seen anything where you had this much civil and criminal come? It's almost like a circular firing squad. They are surrounding and firing from all directions, and it's falling apart around their feet at this point.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. In my career, I remember maybe the biggest criticisms of me were that I didn't indict enough people. Right. It was never that I was always indicting the wrong person or that I was just targeting, a guy that I disagreed with. You got to have evidence beyond a reasonable doubt to convict someone, even if you think they're involved. So there's the colloquial, pundit who thinks, well, that guy probably did it, too. Well, that's great. That's great evidence. Let me throw that against the wall and see if that gets me beyond reasonable doubt. I'm a professional. You carry around a pen, so I'm gonna trust my instincts on this one. So yeah, I've never seen anything like this. That's why I do subscribe to the idea that this has been lawfare all along,
and
it continues. But God bless the man. He's got alligator blood in his veins, and he's not curled up in a ball on the floor. He's fighting even as hard as he ever has, and he's gonna win. He's gonna win, Phil.
Well, at this point, I think not only does he need to win for his own benefit, he needs to win for our benefit because, truth be told, if they can do it to him, they can do it to anybody.
And he wants to win for our benefit most of all. I do believe that in my gut.
Jay Towne, as always, man, good commentary. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Phil.
See you, man. Take care. Super Five. All right. Yeah, always, as always. Move us to the break there, Big Rig. I ran long, but that's never seen anything like it. I'm going to tell you right now, if a former U.S. attorney, 12-year Marine Corps JAG officer, private practice, DA, prosecutor, has never seen anything like it, well, then it ain't never been seen. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.